Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul here just got saved, literally. And if anything, it teaches us God can save anyone, eh? I mean, Paul here is literally a murderer of Christians. And God saved him. And he went from being an enemy of Christianity to being the greatest church planter that ever lived. So God can use anyone. He can use you. He can use me to do his will, if we'll just surrender. And Paul here has just gotten saved here in Acts chapter 9. And it says there in verse 19, where we'll start this morning, it says, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." So he preached Christ is our title. Let's pray. Dear Lord, use your word now, I pray, to teach us, to grow us, to speak to us. And Lord, I pray we'll be listening and we'll be learning and we'll be responsive through the Holy Spirit to what you have to say to each of us. Thank you for the opportunity to meet and assemble and to lift up Jesus and the Word. Pray you'll bless each aspect of this service to your glory. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. So, as I said, his name's not even Paul yet. It's still Saul. And he's just literally, in the beginning of the chapter, was saved. And here, the very first thing he does, it says, after he takes some meat, verse 20, straightway. Isn't that good? I love that word, straightway. It means immediately he began to preach Christ. And all of us can do the same thing. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, you can tell people what happened to you. Amen? Jesus saved me. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to tell other people what Jesus has done for you. And we are here to preach Christ. We're here to, as we'll see, we're here to preach who he is, and we're to preach why he came. And that's exactly what Paul was doing. And any Christian can share what God has done for them. You know, when God said goodbye to the disciples of Jesus Christ right before he ascended to heaven, the last thing he told them was, "I want you to go and tell us about me. Go and teach all nations. Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And that's why we're here. We're to preach Christ. And we're to preach who he is and why he came. And that this is a theme all throughout Acts. Look at chapter 8. Verse 35, the Bible says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." And then if you look in chapter 17, verse 18, I just want to show you that this was the theme of Acts, was the preaching of the person of Christ. It says, "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods,' because he preached unto them Jesus." He preached Christ. And we're here to do the same. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, and I'll show you here in a church epistle that we're here to preach Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:23, the Bible says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." In 2 Corinthians 4:5, Paul says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord." And then go to 2 Corinthians 1:19, where again, we'll see that this is what we're to be doing, is what Paul did in his early ministry, and that's preach Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:19, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." But notice he says, "Who was preached among you, Jesus Christ." He preached Christ. And if we could get anything out of this passage this morning, just that one thing. Preach Christ. Tell people about Jesus. Our Christianity is about Jesus. Amen? Our hope is about Jesus. Our future is based on what Jesus did. Preach Christ. So go back to our passage, verse 20. The Bible says that, first of all, in the synagogues, that he preached that he is the Son of God. The first thing that Paul preached was the person of Jesus Christ. And when we share the gospel with the lost, we need to be very careful that we preach the person of Christ. I've heard people give gospel presentations before, and they leave out the person of Christ, and that's extremely dangerous. You can't just say that Jesus came and died for our sins. You have to explain who Jesus is, that he was God in the flesh. This is so important. You know, the Jehovah's Witness preach Christ too. But they preach a different Christ, don't they? They preach a Christ that isn't God. And so you must explain who Jesus Christ is. This is critical when you share the gospel. Go to John 8:24 and I'll show you Jesus himself explained it, that if we do not clearly believe in the person of Jesus Christ, and when I say the person, I mean his deity, we cannot be saved. This is important. John chapter 8, look at verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That I am who? Look at verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's not bad English. He is claiming to be the I am of the Old Testament, where God met Abraham, Moses in the burning bush, and he said, I am that I am. And Jesus here is saying, I am the I am of the Old Testament. I am Jehovah. And he says, if you're not willing to believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You can say, I believe in Jesus, but if you don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible, you can't be saved. And that's why when we share the gospel with people, we must be very careful to explain, yes, we're sinners, and yes, we deserve to go to hell, but when we get to the third point of the gospel, which is that Jesus came and died for our sins, that we explain who Jesus is. That our Creator, God Almighty, Jehovah, became a man, that he might die in our place. It's very important that we preach the person of Christ. Go to Titus 2:13, if you would. And the Apostle Paul understood this because he knew that the Jews, for the most part, were not willing to accept the person of Christ. They were okay if he would bring them a kingdom. They were okay even if he fulfilled some of the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. But they were not okay with his deity. And it is a major stumbling block for a lot of people. Go to Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes to take us to heaven, we're to be looking for him. Who are we looking for? The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? We're to be looking for the great God and our Savior. We're looking for God in the flesh to come back for us. Go to Acts chapter 20 when the Apostle Paul was saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus. I want you to see what he explained to them. Very important truth. When he was talking about the blood that was shed for our sins, he was talking about God's blood. Look what he said here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Is it hard to understand and explain that God could become a man? Of course it is. But God's ways are higher than our ways. And God can do whatever God wants to do, however he wants to do it. And God chose to become a man and to die in our place. And that's what it says, that we were purchased with the blood of God. And never forget that. That our Creator loved us that much. It's amazing to think that He didn't just say, I'm done. I'm just going to wipe us off the earth like He threatened to do with Moses and like He almost did with Noah. It's amazing that instead He said, you're sinners. Your sin needs to be judged. You deserve to go to hell. I'm going to come and pay the price for you. Isn't that amazing? That God became a man and shed His blood for us. And so when we preach Christ, as we see here in verse 20 of Acts 9, we must preach, first of all, His person. But then moving on, verse 21, that all that heard Him were amazed and said, is not this He that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that He might bring them bound unto the chief priests? The people knew who this man was. This is Saul. Just in the chapter before, he saw Stephen stoned to death. And they chose Saul of all people, to lay their clothes at his feet. He was the official witness of the execution of one of the deacons of the first church. And he was essentially, by standing there and allowing all these people to lay their clothes at his feet, was saying, yes, I officially give my stamp of approval as one of the religious leaders that this was a righteous execution. Think about that. And then in the next chapter, God smites him down with blindness and saves his soul. And he becomes one of the very people that he was persecuting and taking to prison and killing, which is Christians. And he gets saved, and the people are amazed. They're like, who is this guy? This is the guy that was just committing Christians to prison, and now he's telling us about the very Jesus that he was persecuting. But he preached. He preached Christ. Verse 22, but he increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews, which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And when we preach Christ, we must not only preach His person, which we talked about before. People must understand that it is God in the flesh that died on the cross for us. But we also must preach, why did He come? Well, remember, in chapter 9, He's only preaching to Jews. And when He uses this word Christ, it means Messiah. It means the one that was promised in the Old Testament. And there were many, many prophecies in the Old Testament to the Jews about the coming Messiah, which the New Testament word is Christ. And Jesus is explaining to the Jews, as it says, they were confounded that this man could open up the Old Testament and say, here is Jesus Christ. He was the fulfillment of all of these Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah. And so we must not only preach the purpose or the person of Christ, but the purpose. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come to earth as a man? Why did He leave the glories of heaven? You know, we talked about this yesterday at the Young at Heart luncheon. The Bible says He became poor that we might be made rich. Why would He leave all of that splendor and glory and power and limit Himself to humanity for those 33 years? Why? Why go through all of that for us? That's why. No other reason but for us. It's amazing. And so we must explain to people not only that Jesus Christ was God, but why did He come? What was His purpose for coming to the earth? To die for you and for me. Jesus said in Luke 19:10 that for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Go to John chapter 4, if you would, in verse 42, where Jesus makes it very clear. This is the early part of His ministry, and Jesus makes it very clear about His purpose. John 4:42, He said unto the woman, now we believe. Because of this thy saying, we have heard Him ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is the woman at the well, and Jesus came and witnessed to her, and she got saved, and she went and got the whole village to come out and hear Jesus. And almost the whole village got saved, the Samaritan village. And they said, now that we've heard him with our own ears, we know who this is. This is the Christ, the Savior of the world. He came to save the whole world. Hallelujah. He died for everyone. Go to Acts chapter 17 and we'll see it again. That we must preach his person and we must preach his purpose. Tell people, Jesus loved you so much. He came to earth for you and he came to die for you and rise again from the dead. Acts 17:3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. There it is. Why did he come? That he might suffer, and that he might rise again from the dead, and that he is the Christ, the fulfillment of the Old Testament Messiah prophecies. Acts 18, next chapter over. Verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians 1 if you would. We're here to preach Christ. We're to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must preach who he is. We must preach his purpose, why he came, and that was to die for us. Notice verse 18 of 1 Corinthians. Or verse 17, I like this one. Christ sent me not to baptize, Paul said, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You see what he means when he says not with wisdom of words? It's not a debate. We're not here to debate with the lost. Amen? We're not here to impress them with our debating abilities. We're here to give them the gospel. The gospel has the power to save their soul. The word of God is a quick and powerful two-edged sword that can literally save them. Be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. We're here to give them the word. We're not here to out-debate them or convince them through our amazing debating skills. No, Paul says, not with wisdom of words, but with the gospel. Verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. He says, of all the things that we could be preaching to the lost, we should be preaching the cross. And those who won't believe see it as foolish that our Creator would die on the cross and pay for our sins. And we've all experienced that, haven't we? We try to tell people the good news. Jesus died for your sins on the cross. They see it as foolishness. And that's exactly what Paul said here. It's foolishness to them that won't believe, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. And look at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching to save them that believe. Now, that is not talking about preaching in church, what I'm doing right now. That's talking about what every Christian is commanded to do, and that's to preach the gospel to lost people. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Paul's saying here. It pleased God. God chose to get the message out like this. He could have chosen other ways. He could have written pamphlets and dropped them down from the sky. He could have sent angels down to tell people, which he will do, by the way, during the tribulation period. Angels will be involved. And he's also going to specifically choose 144,000 Jewish male virgin guys to preach. So it'll be different. But during this age, the church age, he chose preaching. He chose that each Christian tells other people about Jesus, about who he is and why he came. He preached Christ. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And if you're here this morning and you're saved, it's because someone preached to you. Amen? Maybe through a pamphlet, maybe in a church service, maybe one-on-one, but someone preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. And as it says there, you believed. And when you believed, you were saved. Paul, right out of the gate, he's only been saved a couple days. And the Bible says he preached Christ. He didn't waste any time. He immediately began to tell as many as he could, initially just Jews, Jesus is the one. He is God. And he came to die for your sins. He's the Messiah. He's the Old Testament fulfillment, or the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises of the Messiah. He is the answer. And many got saved, of course, and so many got saved in different places, especially Gentile cities, that he was able to plant churches by just preaching Christ. So never, ever underestimate the power, amen, of preaching Christ. It might sound almost insignificant compared to other things, but it's actually the most significant thing you could ever do is preach Christ. Just tell people. Just tell them what God did for you and tell them who Jesus is. Tell them why Jesus came. Give them the word and leave the rest up to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Preach Christ. And you know what? Some will believe. How do we know this? Because we wouldn't be here otherwise. Amen? Some will believe. We believed. Praise God. And there's still others left that God wants to believe before he comes back. So let's tell him. And take Paul's example here of he's been saved a couple days. He didn't have to go to Bible college first. No, he just preached Christ. And people got saved. So just preach Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word.